Welcome to the Gathering at Meadowview with Doug Messer, a church focused on biblical truth through scriptural teaching. I hope you enjoy the message today.
We come to a very special day in our calendar of the year, and we're Americans and we live right here, and tomorrow will be Memorial Day. To a lot of people, it'll be grilling hot dogs and hamburgers and getting together with family and going to the lake. This was instituted after the Civil War in our country to remember the thousands, the 75,000 who died during the Civil War. The amazing thing about it wasn't so much North and South, it was just finding our identity. We were young, finding our identity and who we are. That's what the battle was. And God directed in it. Because of the casualties of this war, it was declared that we would remember those who died. Since then, we've gone through the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, Gulf War, Afghanistan, and Iraq. The amazing thing about we as Americans is we can kid sometimes, and sometimes maybe it's not kidding. Remember the North and South, but when we come to these conflicts, a young man from New Hampshire will tell somebody from Georgia, "I got your back," and they know it. That's who we are. We're like that. And we're thankful for the places that God has brought us to. The reasons, again, for this day is to become thankful. There was no giving up. There was dedication. There was sacrifice. One man in our early service came out and shook my hand. He's a Vietnam vet and was a medic. He said, "Just thank you for reminding people." I'm sure he saw a lot of things while he was in Vietnam. And so we remember, and we remember lives that have been given so that we can have what we have. And we as Americans, we live here, never take it for granted. If you've been to other countries in the world and you've seen different things, you come back here, it's why they get off planes and kiss the ground. We have a freedom here. We have a freedom to be able to do as we do, that we can have a church here that's been here since 1905 and it still stands here. And no one came to the door and said, "You can't meet." And you can't find a city or town in the United States of any size that doesn't have a church, an evangelical church in it. This last Wednesday, we were talking about how the gospel has gone everywhere, even Antarctica, a continent, Antarctica, where there is no inhabitant. The only people who live there are scientists and researchers. But did you know there's 10 Bible-believing churches within these groups there? Isn't that amazing? In Antarctica, the gospel is gone. I don't know if they have heat in their building, but they listen. And there's 10 different groups that meet together with these scientists in different areas. How we thank God. Some of the biggest churches in the world today are in Russia and China. Isn't that amazing? Nothing holds back the gospel. And we as a country are the nucleus of it. He has used this country to send out more missionaries than any nation in the world or history in the world. He's used us. He's used us to proclaim and to print material that goes out. The internet and the opportunity that we have to share the truth, and it has gone out to the world. Freedom that we have. Freedom that we have to live. There are so many stories of people who were raised with nothing, or raised in the projects, or raised in different places, and they become sports athletes, and they do well, and they become a voice that speaks. They go into business and nothing holds them back. There's not a caste system that holds them in a particular place. They can do whatever they wish. You have that freedom, a freedom that we have. What I'd like us to do right now, I don't know if often this is done in church, but I think it's important under God that you would stand, and we're going to give a pledge of allegiance to our flag today. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Father, George Washington said, "A government without God and morality is worthless." Let's look at atheist governments and how they ruled. Napoleon Bonaparte, Hitler, Stalin, other groups and rising in governments, they were bloodbaths. There is no morality. There is no God. We're thankful that God has called us. We're thankful for what he has done in our lives. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. This is one verse I want us just to look at. Revelation 14 and verse 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven, write this down, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them." Also in Psalms 116 and verse 15, it mentions the same focus, to remember those who have gone on. If you have one of these Bibles, on the back binding, it lists the publisher's name. He didn't start a publishing company, but it's named after him. His name is William Tyndale. William Tyndale is somebody that we would want to remember. The application of our focus today isn't only just that we would remember those who have given their lives in this country, but we would also remember those who have given their lives to have what you have in Christ. That you have a Bible, that you have worship centers, that you're able to meet together, that we have the truth before us. William Tyndale revolted against the church at the time. At that time, the church believed that you were ignorant. Unless you had had some Bible training, seminary, or were called into the priesthood, you could not have a Bible. You were ignorant of interpretation. You would come up with wrong conclusions that would differ from the church. So the gospel wasn't to be in your hands. William Tyndale, Wycliffe, other translators believe that the gospel ought to be printed and you ought to have the right to read it and change your life. Even Martin Luther was one who stood in his reform and he said, if the Bible doesn't say it, I don't believe it. And if you teach something as a church that is contrary to God's word, then I will stand against you. He believed that people, and William Tyndale believed that people ought to have the Bible. In his defiance, Mr. Tyndale, in standing in opposition, he was tied to a post and he was burned to death just because he wanted to print the Bible and translate it so that people could read it. My. King James decided that he would revolt, and there was some reasonings, and he came to this place in his life and he hired translators that made the King James Version. And he started the Church of England, and his belief was everybody should have the Bible and be able to read it. And it was given to men, and they were able to read it. Many of the pilgrims or the Puritans who came to the United States carried with them the Geneva Bible. It was an early translation, and they had it and were able to read it and follow after it. Many gave their lives so that the gospel would be preached. Story after story of missionaries, Nick Saint and other ones, going into South America and sharing the gospel and gave their lives so that people could hear about Jesus. I wrote down some of the disciples and what happened to their lives. Simon the Zealot was crucified. He chose to be crucified upside down because he didn't believe he was worthy to die like Christ did. Thaddeus was shot with bows and arrows, and it wasn't that he was fleeing from something that he had stolen or taking something of that wasn't his or doing something wrong. It was because he preached the gospel. James of Alphaeus was beaten with clubs as he's thrown from a steeple and thrown down onto a city street. Simon was also crucified, just as Christ was. Andrew was crucified. James was beheaded. Bartholomew was stabbed in India for proclaiming the gospel. Thomas was speared in India for preaching the gospel. Isn't that amazing? And all of them willingly gave their lives for the name of Christ, and in a way handed on a baton to you and I. Do we forget them? It told us in the verses that we read, even in Revelation. Don't forget. Remember what they did and their walk and the run that they were involved in, the race that they were involved in, and how the truth was proclaimed. Don't forget them. Don't forget the people who came into your life that shared Jesus. Don't forget the Sunday school teacher who every week, I remember this as a kid, my Sunday school teacher had scissors and little flannel graph and would sit there and cut out the little flannel graph while she's telling the story and put it on this blue flannel graph and stick it up there, and we would have Sunday school, and I still remember the stories. Don't forget them. Don't forget the pastor who was willing to share Christ with you in his old age, and the grandma who wanted to sit you down and talk to you, or the friend who proclaimed the truth to you, a family member who shared it. Don't forget. Don't forget the life that they committed. Don't forget the truth that they proclaimed. Don't ever forget it. Don't forget what has been given to you. How we thank God for what he has done. But I don't know about you, but I have a bad memory. I forget stuff sometimes. Sometimes I'll be introducing somebody that I know very well and I can't think of their name. Sometimes I'll forget where I'm going. Have you ever done that? Drive down, where was it I was going? I can't even remember now. Sometimes there's little simple things and I just forget those kind of things. I don't think I'm the only one. And I think God told us that we're to do things, set things up in your life so that you don't forget. It's a bad thing to forget some things. I think it's a disgrace as an American to forget lives that were given for me. Now, I don't know them all individually. I couldn't even name somebody in my family who was in a military battle that passed away in the battle. I can't think of it, but I know the people, the men and women who did this. We think of their lives. We think of Pearl Harbor, and we think of different things and things that came against us. And in general, we know that lives have been given. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget what has been given to us, that I have a Bible. And somebody died so that I can have a Bible and it would be passed on. Don't forget. Don't forget that in 1905, a man independently built this church and decided that right here in this area, in this valley, there needed to be a church. Don't forget that there was people like Henrietta Mears, who was the initiator of Sunday schools. She felt like children ought to hear about Jesus because the preacher's kind of boring and they're sitting there and their mother's pinching them. And she felt like these children need to learn about Jesus. And she started a Sunday school program in her church, and soon there were 3,000 attending her Sunday school. The Southern Baptists took off with it and they put it in all of their churches. We need Sunday schools. She's the one that started it. She decided, don't forget about these people. Don't forget their names. Don't forget their walk with God. Don't forget how they gave their lives. I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. These are the focus verses. In the brief time that we have left, we want to think about the things that are here. In verse 12, and this is on page 731 in these Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. In those days, you were living apart from Christ before you came to know the Lord. Before you came to know him, you were living apart from him. You weren't a believer. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God, without hope. But now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Jesus. The before and the after. Do you remember? He's speaking to Christians and he said, before you were in this place, now Christ has brought you to this place. Do you remember? Do you remember what He's done? And if I would remember what God has done in my life, it would cause my life to be more sober, consistent in my walk. It would cause me to be stronger. It caused me to be more focused. Remember. Well, how do I do that? How do I remember these different things? The first thing He said was a covenant, and I want to encourage you to do this. Many of you have devotions. You have a Bible, and every day you read a passage from the Bible. Or you go online and you read Greg Laurie's daily devotion, or Billy Graham's daily devotion, or different devotions, and you read it every day. I want to encourage you to get a little notebook, or on your phone, on the notebook part, that you would do this. And whenever you read something and it's a promise or a covenant from God, write it down. If He speaks to you about anything, if He tells you in Vita's little Bible in the back, I put Galatians 6:9. If we don't give up, if we don't fall down, we will reap a harvest. And on the side, I put never give up. Don't ever give up. And it's a verse. So that's a promise. If I don't give up, we will reap a harvest. God will accomplish His work. That's a promise. Write those things down, because if you read it and it impacts you and you think, wow, that's powerful, that's good. You know what's going to happen in 5 days from now? You're going to forget it. It isn't going to be a part of your life anymore. You forgot it. Why not write it down? In fact, He said, record these things, write these things down, chisel it out in stone, put it on your heart, let it be in front of you. Write those promises of God down in your life. My third grade teacher would have us all in the classroom stand up and pledge allegiance every morning. Then she taught us the preamble. And every single day after we did the Pledge of Allegiance, we all had to recite the preamble. I still remember it. Why? Because this is something that we're going to do, a regiment in our life, and we're going to focus on these things. It's important to do. If you write those promises down that God has given to you, you'll go back and you'll look at those things again, and it will be a remembrance to you. Don't ever forget. Don't forget what God has done. Don't forget how He has saved you. There was a lady in our church years ago, and she went through a horrible battle with cancer. You know, she's a beautiful lady, and she lost her hair, and she had scars and different things, and it was a fight through all of it. She had difficulties in her marriage and difficulties with her children and difficulties in relationships and different things. And on Wednesdays, oftentimes in that church, I would ask, I'd say, is there anything that you're thankful for? And every single Wednesday, she would say, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for what God has given to me. Never forget. In fact, cancer reminded her. Broken relationships reminded her. The loss of her physical beauty reminded her. She was reminded over and over again of what God has given to her. Don't forget. Record the things that God has done in your life. Oftentimes when we go by a courthouse or in front of your home, perhaps, you have a flag flying. The flag in a battle was something to remind hope. Here we are. We're all behind that. There's hope there. Our flag is still flying. When we were in Charleston, Fort Sumter, there were flags that flew at one time. And you go there, and this is a memorial. I mean, you go there, and you see huge cannons that were part of a battle. And you see cannonballs in a wall. And you see where parts of the fort were built back because they were completely destroyed through this battle. The reminders. we focus on these things. But the flag was up there flying, and it was hope that was given to all of them inside. There is nothing wrong, and it is not an idol at all. You have a garden in your front yard, and the only reason I say this is because I've seen this garden, and this lady told me about it. She said, that little garden right there, it reminds me of this Bible verse that God gave me. And every time I look at that garden, I'm reminded of it. There's nothing wrong with that. Somebody gave me these dog tags a couple months ago, and they said, I've been carrying these dog tags, and here at church, it's lifted this from me. But these dog tags were things that were reminders in my life that needed to be fixed. Regret, pain, sorrow, death, and destruction. And I carried them every day because it needed to be lifted. And it's lifted now, and I'm giving it to you. I just want you to be reminded that God works and He does things, and I want to give it to you. There's nothing wrong with having something in front of you, having a garden, having a rock. God said, put a pile of rocks right there on the other side of the Jordan. So every time you pass by here, you tell your children what God did here and how He held back the water and how my people pass by. The temple was a reminder that the presence of God is here. When it wasn't there, they didn't have a reminder of God there. Is there reminders in your life? And it can be buried in your heart, and it could be a verse that you hold to all the time and you declare all the time to the Lord and you focus on. Is there something of hope waving in your life? It's the only way that we can remember, or we forget. We don't make it. We go on and we complain about the way our country is, and we complain about different things, and we complain about the church, and we complain about these Christians, and we talk about them as it. Remind yourself of what God has done. Let there be those focuses. Let 5 o'clock in the morning be your reminder that every single day I meet God, we sit and we talk. It's my reminder of who He is. It's my hope that He gives us. Then it also shares in these verses in Ephesians chapter 2 that God is in the world now. He is? Yes. Are you reminded of that? That He's in the world? Yeah. Do you see Him moving? Do you see the commander in front of us leading the forces along? Come this way. He is in the world, and we would declare it and we would say it. And we say, God is here. He's moving. He's done this. He's worked in this way in my life. He is before us, and I praise Him. God is in the world. You didn't have Him before. You do now. And the way that we're reminded of it is to constantly, and we say this every Sunday, see Him and declare it. I see God moving. I see Him working. Did you just see Him? Praise God. I picked that board up. It's perfect. He must have cut that board for me. There's a cabin at the camp, and we call it Blessed. You know why we called it Blessed? I have never seen this before in my life. We had a pile of wood there, and I would say, we need a board that's 60 inches, 60 and 5/8, and we pick it up with 60 and 5/8. Isn't that cool? No, I'm telling you. It was like that the whole time we built the cabin. We didn't have any plans, didn't have nothing, and just kind of bam, 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 Blessed. Praise God. Thank God for what He does. Little stupid things like a board, or the way that He moves in front of us, or how an answer to prayer, and it's reminded constantly of God's presence. God is in this world. If you were to ask me what the unpardonable sin is, you know what I would tell you? Owning an old Tennessee house and letting it rot into the ground. Cannot stand it. When I drive around and I see all these beautiful old places and stuff, when I see an old house and the windows are busted out of it and somebody painted graffiti on the front of it and the porch posts are coming out and the tin is blown, oh, get away from me, Satan. I can't stand it. You know what? Nobody remembers mom standing at the kitchen door with her apron on and saying, biscuits are ready. Nobody remembers Johnny and David wrestling in the front yard. Nobody remembers the coon dog that used to stand on the front porch and believe that was his palace. Nobody remembers the mailman that used to come by and he would stop at the mailbox and talk for 5 minutes because it's more important to talk than it is to go deliver the mail. Nobody remembers Grandpa buried out by the apple tree in the backyard, and it's all grown up in briars now, and nobody sees it. Nobody remembers the house that in the cold weather and the wind blowing in the middle of the winter with a coal stove burning and wood burning, keeping everybody warm inside. Nobody remembers the Christmases and the Thanksgivings, the neighbors who would come and sit on the porch. Nobody remembers the windows are busted. The porch is coming down. The roof is blowing off. Nobody remembers. What a disgrace it is. What it is a disgrace, the disgrace that's in my life sometimes is I don't remember the way that God moves around us. And I don't reflect on God in the world around us. And I forget about His movement. What a disgrace it is. Do not forget. Do things in your life, just as this verse says in Ephesians chapter 2. Don't you remember where you were and where you've come to now? There is nothing better in East Tennessee than going to the rodeo or a dirt track race. Maverick loved going and getting hot dogs when we would go down to Bull's Gap and the dirt track race. But the part that I love the most, 1,500 people are sitting there ready for these old junky cars to race around the racetrack. Me and Maverick are eating a hot dog. And then somebody gets on the PA and says, "Everyone, if you'd stand up right now, our track chaplain is going to have a word of prayer." I am not kidding you. This guy, he was preaching a message in his prayer. "Lord, I'm just praying right now that there would be some people who their hearts are touched today, and this very evening that you would minister to them, and tomorrow they would find a house of faith to worship in. God, would you glorify yourself?" Oh, I loved it. Bring it on. And then we ate our hot dogs and we'd leave. That's all. Rodeo is the same thing. I went to an auction in Sneedville. We're all standing around the courthouse. They're selling this piece of property. It was an old school up in Kyle's Ford that they were going to sell. And just wanted to go and inquire and see what it was. And so we're all standing out there, all these different people all standing there waiting for the auction. And the magistrate comes out on the steps and he says, "Okay, we're going to have our auction. Our pastor from First Baptist Church is going to have a word of prayer. We're at a stinking auction. Yes, we're going to pray before the auction." I love it. We need to do that kind of thing all the time. Do you remember when God wasn't a part of your life? And now God is a part of your life? That's what the verses say right here in Ephesians 2. Remind yourself. That's what they were doing on the courtroom steps. They're reminding everybody, God is here. God takes care of land. God takes care of business. God does different things. God moves. Let's pray. Let's do it that way. Let's believe in it. And then, you know what else we do? In our country, and this is awesome that we still do this. It'll be a football game and they'll have somebody who can hit the high notes on the national anthem and they'll get up and they'll sing. And they'll sing out this anthem. And this anthem is a declaration of our country and everybody knows it. Everybody will stand there, they'll put their hands on their heart and they'll wait for this person as they sing it. This is singing out who we are. When we come to church, the songs that we sing are not just only worship, only just worship or how I feel or emotion. What it is supposed to do is remind us of something God has done in our lives or a way that He moves or a way that He works or a way that He carries out His truth. It's to remind us. And then we worship in it because it's relative to me and I have seen Him do it and it's reflective of how God moves. Sing it. Sing it out. I mean, when we sing something like, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus," we're all reminded of how He takes away our sin, how He moves in our life. we're reminded and we sing it out. There's nothing wrong with singing it out from your life. So not only is there a commitment that we make, a promise that I am recording, not only is there a flag that I'm flying of my life and there's hope that I have, and I set that little garden there, or I have it written in my heart, or I have that verse on the wall and it reminds me every single day of my hope, that I look around a little bit more and I see God in this world around us and I declare it to other people and I praise Him for what He has done and I sing it out of my life. I have said this almost every time we've had the Lord's Supper, and I think it's very, very important. The saddest words in the entire Bible. Jesus knew what He was going to face very soon. He was going to the cross. He's breaking bread with His disciples. He's drinking a cup. They're celebrating the Passover meal. And Jesus declares it differently than any Passover meal that these disciples had ever been to before. He doesn't say, "This is Lamb's body that we're eating." He said, "This is My body." And He said, "And My body will be broken for you. And this cup that you drink, this is My blood that will shed or is shed for you. A new covenant, a whole new beginning." And He said this is the sad part. "Do this in remembrance of Me." You mean we're going to forget about You, Jesus? Yeah. That's why you come to church on Sunday. That's why you sing songs. That's why you give testimonies. That's why you take the Lord's Supper. That's why you baptize. That's why you declare Christ in front of people. To remember who He is, lest you would ever forget Him. Don't forget Him. Don't forget His life that died so that you and I can have what we have as believers.
Thank you for listening. Join us here in person at the Gathering in Meadowview in Rogersville, Tennessee, or join us next week right here on the Dig Bible Podcast.